This is the Daily Connect on RNIB Connect Radio, and it's time for the news review, a chance to talk about some of the stories that are making the headlines in the world of disability and in particular sight loss. Well, with us for the review this week, we have Alan Russell, host of Early Edition. Hello, Alan.
I am here.
Excellent. And Chris Wallace is here, producer of The Daily Connect. Hello, Chris.
Hello, you. Yes, can't get away from you.
I know. Well, I thought it'd be good to get you in because we've always had blind or partially sighted people on the panel. And I think that's important, obviously. Uh-huh. You know, it's kind of what we do here. But I think it's kind of nice to get a sighted person's viewpoint, you know, because no one's excluded here.
Yeah. Yep. Well, am I the first then?
You are the first.
Oh. That's nice. You're a trailblazer.
Be gentle.
Well, it's also handy because he works for us, so we can always bat him into line if he starts anything. Right, okay. Well, the first topic I wanted to bring up today is Donald Trump. Donald Trump. Is there ever a day that goes by, an hour, a minute that goes by when there's someone not talking about Donald Trump?
Once he said.
Well, the most recent thing, and it was actually an article that you saw, Alan, I saw as well, and it was about Trump and his comments about 30 years ago on the subject of Braille in elevators. This was when the Trump Tower was being built, and essentially he had walked into one of the elevators to be shown what the cab would look like, and he said, what are those little raised dot things there? I said, oh, it's Braille. Get rid of it, was his response, or words to that effect. And, well, basically, that wasn't a very nice thing to say. It was picked up by one of the people who worked very closely to Trump, and then it came out very recently. Interesting, it's taken this long for that to come out. But it's an interesting one, and we put it to our listeners this week on World Connect, giving everyone a chance to react to it. We've got some very interesting responses along the lines of, and you know, we've got to remember, this becomes very political very quickly in America. So, you know, a lot of people were standing by Trump and saying, well, you know, that's just the guy we elected. He tells the truth. That's it. Some people saying not very good and doesn't say much about his views of people with disabilities or where they stand. The most interesting thing in our report, which I wanted just to bring up as well, is we did a search on the White House website for the Daily Connect. We did a search on the site for any references to disability. We found one result. One. When we searched the Obama White House website, which is basically the White House website archived, we got 72,198 results. Ooh. So just a little bit of a difference there. So I'll leave you with that as we kick off the discussion. So, Alan, you read the story. What was your initial thought on this?
Yeah, well, as you say, this was when Trump Towers had been built and they were showing him what would be inside the lift. And when he initially said, no, get rid of it, the designer architect said, well, actually, it's the law. We have to have it. And he then made a big expletive, according to the article, and said, get rid of it again. So, you know, although some people are saying, well, you know, he's Donald Trump, you know, he speaks his mind, he gets things done and that's it. That was a law that you had to have that. It was part of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And I think when he followed that up with there'll be no blind people that will ever be able to live in Trump Tower, you sort of thought, so you have so little disregard that anyone with a visual impairment doesn't have the ability to earn enough to live in your glorified tower block. I thought that was appalling. I thought, you know, this is now the man who's the most powerful man in the world, arguably. And also, you know, the thing about the Americans with Disabilities Act, there has been a lot recently about watering down of the act and perhaps, you know, taking away a lot of its powers. And, you know, it says a lot about the man himself, as far as I'm concerned, that he's quite happy not to bother his shirt with what could be classed as more vulnerable people or people who need a little bit more support to, you know, have a level playing field out there.
Doesn't sound like he's really for disabled people here, Chris.
Not in the least. No, I was actually shocked when I read it. I mean, I take a sharp intake of breath every time I see his name before I even read a story. And I think, what's he saying now? But I was absolutely flabbergasted that he had so little regard for, first of all, the law, people with visual impairments and people with disabilities in general, and so low expectations that they'll never be able to afford to live here.
Let me just say, I was not shocked when I read this. I think we've seen enough of Trump now to know who he is. But what was incredibly disheartening, I thought, of the piece that we ran this week on the World Connect, Stephen, was it took me, I must say, completely out of my echo chamber. I speak to a lot of people here in the UK, And we all have a similar view of Trump. He's a buffoon. He's managed to waddle his way into the White House. He is who he is. He will never be anything else. And he wants things only for himself. He's got his own agenda, and that's it. It's not for the good of the country. But in your World Connect feature, we heard the voice of Americans, blind Americans, who, like the evangelicals in America, like the black Trump supporters in America, are so willing to forgive.
Female Trump supporters as
well. Female Trump supporters as well. It's almost as if it's not taken place since he's been physically in the White House, then it doesn't matter. He mocked very openly a disabled journalist.
That's right.
But even now, disabled people in America who are Trump supporters say, well, you know, that was when he was candidate Trump. A lot's changed since he's President Trump. I honestly don't think anything has changed. And I think that 30 years ago, it's not that he was ignorant about blind or partially sighted people or even about what Braille was, or maybe it was that he was ignorant, but the fact that he had to compromise because of a law, I could honestly see it being the case that he would rather get rid of that law now than admit that he was wrong at the time. Just my opinion.
And as you say, Chris, you know, some of these people said, well, you know, and as you did, Stephen, it was in the past, you know, he was a candidate. But when you're a candidate, you're setting out your stall for the person you are, not just the campaign you run, but you're putting yourself in the public eye to say, this is me, whether I'm, you know, talking about how I'm going to change the economy in the future or, you know, how I'm going to improve living standards. This is how you project yourself, your personality, to the electorate. And when you do the things that he did, I was absolutely astounded. I could not believe that someone like Donald Trump, you know, ended up with the keys to the White House and, you know, the big button, if you like. And that, I suppose that was the start of the snowball, really, wasn't it?
Well, you said, sorry, Stephen, you said an interesting thing there, which was projection. And I think what a lot of people do is project their thoughts onto him. So what we hear a lot, and even in the World Connect article, was, well, he said that, but what he meant was.
Yes.
And then they put their own personal opinion as to what they would rather he had said into his words. But no, he says what he means.
But it's interesting. This came up now, and it's all because of this opinion piece that came from the New York Daily News. Barbara Rez, who used to work alongside Trump as an organization executive, she, as part of the opinion piece that she put into that newspaper, brought this up. And of course, it got a lot of interest online. You know, I guess, should we be horrified by this? Well, considering how much else has been said, is it a case of, well, now he's after blind people, he really is a horrible person? Or is it a case of, well, he just wasn't really that good?
But it's another straw to add to this very strong camel that he seems to have, because it seems to survive a lot, no matter how many straws are placed on it. But I think the fact that, you know, we are a radio station, work for a charity who are there to break down barriers, to level playing fields, to change public perception. And there was Donald Trump's perception that a blind person will never be able to live in his tower. Now, is that because he thinks he doesn't want blind people there because they'll bring down the tone of the place? Or does he think that blind people just will not achieve to actually earn the kind of money it takes to buy, rent, or go into Trump Tower? And
but that raises another issue, doesn't it? Because then it gets to that heart of the... It's a bit like what you're saying, Chris. People hear what they want to hear. And if someone has already got the viewpoint that it's, right, you know, disabled people are useless, blind people can't do anything, you know, we're all useless in the world, then what this does is this just reinforces that view. And say that person happens to be an employer and a blind candidate comes along and just reinforces it and almost makes it okay to think that way.
But to say they'll never even be in this building just shows the contempt and complete misunderstanding of, you know, old stereotypes he probably holds. That's what it rang out really loudly. Louder than the, no, get, I don't care if Braille's legally got to be there, just get rid of it.
Well, we've seen President Trump, since he's become president, do a lot of things that are attacking a Native American senator as Pocahontas, attacking the disabled journalist. Do we honestly believe that if there was a blind person running for Senate or Congress and they were on the other side of him and had his ire, that he wouldn't make fun of them publicly? I think he totally would.
Well, it's an interesting discussion. Yeah. And again, you're welcome to take part in it. I'd love you to get involved in this discussion. Maybe you just don't want to hear about Trump ever again. You can get in touch and tell us. Email us at radio@rnib.org.uk. And we're also on social media as well, at RNIB Radio. And you can also find us on Facebook by searching for RNIB Connect Radio there. Alan is host of the Early Edition. You know who he is. Hello, Alan.
It's me.
It's him. And Chris Wallace is the host. The host? The producer. Hang on a minute.
Oh, I'm moving in.
I've got the wrong notes here. Whoa.
He's got ideas, designs. I like it. Good attitude.
Clearly, he wrote the script to this. He is the producer of the Daily Connect. Hi, Chris.
Hello, sir.
Now, RNIB has a shiny new look. And it is all to celebrate RNIB's 150th anniversary, but it's also to take a point and, I guess, a line in the sand time for RNIB to say, right, you know, let's think again about who we are, what we're here for. And they've designed a new campaign, which is all about seeing the person and not the sight loss. Now, Alan, let's break this down. There's a new logo. Do you care? Because apparently it looks lovely.
Yeah, yes, apparently it does. And it's got pink in it as well, yeah, to make it modern. Nice. Personally, a brand doesn't mean much to me when you physically see a picture of something because I can't see it. So it's more of the reputation than anything else that I will go by with something. But I think, was it an organization's brand or a company's brand is actually what people say about it when they're not in the office or in the room.
Mm. That's more than a look, isn't it? The look is important, but it's not really...
It is important. I suppose it's got to be there to stand out. You know, everyone has their brand. Everyone has their name out there. They want it to be recognised. And it's a bit of... It's an identifier as well. So when you see RNIB, you should be thinking there's an organisation that wants to improve the lives of people who are blind or partially sighted.
So does it? For you, it has the new brand, see the person, not the sight loss. Has that changed it for you?
I like the seeing differently part, because the old strapline was supporting blind and partially sighted people, and that supporting says, oh, you need help and we'll help you, lean on me and I'll carry you along, you're okay, don't worry. But seeing differently, to me, it has two connotations. You can tell I've thought about this too deeply. Seeing differently for people who are visually impaired, blind or partially sighted, they've got sight loss, however you identify yourself if you don't have perfect vision. Seeing differently says, you know, look at things differently. You know, just because you've lost your sight, you can do activities that you want to do, you can get back into employment, you can learn new skills, you know, you can have a life. And for people who are sighted, the sighted community, if you like. Sorry to pigeonhole you there, Chris.
It's okay. I fit quite nicely in it.
He's quite used to it.
pat him on the head and sit. You're all right. it kind of says, you know, look at someone with a visual impairment. You know, don't see the fact that they're blind, they're partially sighted. You know, see them as people in society. They're individuals who do pretty much everything that you do as well. And I think it's all about changing stereotypes, that kind of thing. So for me, I'm quite excited about it, and we'll probably talk about some of the other stuff later, like the little logos and different meanings that they've got that are very modern. And I think it takes the organisation into the 21st century. Like a lot of charities, it takes a lot to move them from decade to decade, never mind century to century sometimes. And I think it really shows that RNIB has went, right, that's the past, time to get things going and look forward.
You know, it's interesting. One of my favourite campaigns, ad campaigns of all time, I guess, that always sticks with me, and it will not shock you to learn this, was by Apple. And it goes back to...
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I think it was the 90s this one came out, and it was called Think Different. And it was a campaign which was basically all about, you know, think differently about the kind of computer you use, I guess. But I guess this kind of way of thinking differently, seeing differently, it all kind of marries up. And does this, I mean, from your point of view, Chris, you're a sighted guy, you know, outside of RNIB, I know you work at RNIB, but outside of RNIB, you know, you're just a regular guy, I assume.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, do you think differently about RNIB? Do you see differently about what we're doing here now?
Well, I do from working here. I will say, before I started working for RNIB, the most recognisable thing I could tell you about RNIB was the colour of the logo, interestingly enough. You've seen it everywhere that you went, train stations and places like this. You would have that taupe-coloured logo. So I knew what the RNIB was from that. And the tagline, supporting people with sight loss, that told me exactly what the organisation was. I was like, oh. Now I'm thinking, if I didn't work for the RNIB and I seen the new logo and seeing differently, would I know who the RNIB were? And I couldn't tell you 100% that I would. I sometimes myself having to explain to people when I say I work for the RNIB, having to answer the, and who's that? Because the initials. Didn't... And the seeing differently, I see as a sort of tagline like Nike's Just Do It. That's an aim. That's an ambition. This is what we want to happen. But that's because
aspirational.
Absolutely. Yeah. But that's because Nike are so established. People know what their brand, what they are. Do people know what the RNIB are?
Yeah, I get that. But then, if you were to use your Nike as an example, if you didn't know who Nike were and you saw the logo, what would it tell you about them?
That's true.
The name, it doesn't tell you anything. But what it does do is, once Nike, you know Nike, and you know, you may think they're a real good quality product, I love their stuff, I love what they do, you know, then all you need is that trigger to say Nike, and you might go, oh, have a look at that.
I must say that for a sighted guy, the new logo does pop. See on TV when you have the Specsavers adverts come up and it's like, research done by RNIB and they use a new logo. It catches your eye. And I didn't expect this to happen when I seen the branding originally, but it catches your eye in the way that the old logo didn't.
It's not taupe.
It's not taupe, yeah. Well, you know, the pink comes through, I must say.
Do you know, I think that gives it a real modern, forward-thinking feel as well. I know it's pink, maybe not everyone's favourite colour, but for an organisation like a charity that's 150 years old, it's a bit of a step forward.
Yeah, it looks modern. And what do you think? Sorry, Stephen, I'm host, don't you know?
I noticed.
What do you think of the humour of the new brand and ad campaign?
I love it. I think some of the items are really good. I know they have a lot of ideas for these little ads, which I think, if we were to take one, for example, was a picture of a cocktail glass. Mm-hmm. And it says, it's not being blind that stops me going to the gym. It's the bar on the way there. And to me, that went, do you know what? That's what people will know. Oh, yeah, I went to the gym, but do you know what? My mates were in the pub and I just went in to have a drink with them. Because that's life. You know, that's what people do. It's not the blind person who people think maybe just stay at home, don't go out, sort of listen to the radio. Everyone should listen to the radio, by the way. But, you know, they don't do anything like that. They're not social. They're not able to go to pubs and you know, be part of a leisure society. But to me, it went, do you know what? That's great. They've got lots of different ones that basically just say, you know, don't see the sight loss. There's all sorts of other things here. And I think it works for both. Again, I take it back to, it says a lot to blind and partially sighted people, and it says a lot to fully sighted people.
My favourite's the one with the microphone where it's, you know, being blind doesn't make me brave, but singing Queen at karaoke really does. I like that.
That's the one that sticks for me as well.
Yeah, I like that.
I've heard you sing.
Yes. Well, listen, tell us your thoughts on the brand. I'd love to hear them, and we would love to hear them here at RNIB generally. So do get involved and join the conversation. Again, that email address is radio@rnib.org.uk. Alan and Chris, thank you for coming in.
Most welcome.
Yeah, thank you.